Hi everyone, Dark Brew here from thebrewhall.com and The Brew Hall on Twitter, and you are about to listen to part two of the episode 200 finale. So please make sure that you've downloaded and listened to part one first, otherwise you'll be a little bit lost and confused, which wouldn't be the first time we've confused our listeners, but hey, this one could be prevented. Stay thirsty and remember to drink your Dark Brew Lager and enjoy the show.
He said optimal.
Okay.
Somebody said optimal drink.
Well, let's ask this. I'll ask this question too, because joining us in the chat room now in the show actually is Roger Brown, who's a hunter from Method. He's appeared on the show three times. This will be his fourth time. So, Roger, welcome. And what do you think about all this, about reforging, going away from the game, and so forth?
Hello, everyone. You can hear me,
yeah?
Yep. We can hear you just fine.
Okay, that's good, because actually the last time I was on the show, I watched the podcast afterwards on the YouTube, and I think my mic was a bit weird. Is it okay
now? I don't know what happened with it. We probably should have stopped the show and corrected that, and that's my fault, but I've got someone who's going to try and help us out here.
I just need
to send him that episode.
It's much easier to hear you now, so you sound
great. Yeah, you sound great now.
Yeah.
You're I think it was having an accent, though.
Yeah, well, I'm from Greece, so I guess that I can't do much about that.
You're also from Method, which means you can go on game shows and pick up chicks.
Yeah,
did you ever see that?
No. Is this Michelle?
See you at BlizzCon?
There was a dating show, and it was like a speed dating thing, and these guys sits down, and he starts talking, and he's like, name drops that he's in Method, because they start playing that she likes World of Warcraft, and he's like, yeah, I'm in a raiding guild, I'm in Method. She's like, oh my god, and she's totally impressed by the fact that he's in Method. I think he got laid.
Yeah, I linked the YouTube on that thing. It's pretty funny, yeah.
That's not as good as claiming you're Zahara.
It's pretty close.
It's up there.
You know, save it for the relationship podcast, guys.
Look at this. This is just filled with fodder.
We're
reaching a point that excellence in WoW helps you pick people up.
Yes, how to tame your partner.
I'd tame that.
Somebody's uncomfortable. Drink.
For the reforging thing, I think what you said pretty much covered my thoughts as well. I think the
we had differing viewpoints. Which do you agree with?
Oh, right.
You
agree
with the right one.
I agree. Like, I think all the points are valid, but I like the change, to be honest. I don't like
the right one. That's what I said.
Right. So I think that it's more fun to actually chase after an item, a specific item, than because then if you have, for example, right now there are three male agility wrists in this Seas of Orgrimmar. So if you get one of them and you reforge it, then getting the best one doesn't feel like as big as an upgrade. So I like the fact that you're aiming for the best items, and it's actually going to be a bigger upgrade.
As long as those items exist, right? Whenever I play my LA Shaman, I'm like, it'd be nice if there was some gear that wasn't crit spared.
Well, see, that's what I thought too, and this maybe harkens back a little bit to where we were at some points in Wrath of the Lich King. You know, I think about Naxxramas, where there you could pretty much put together a best in slot list. I mean, you know, probably like that through the whole expansion, but you could actually put together a true BIS list. And there was like a specific pair of gloves, perhaps, that you might have wanted that were much better than, say, even like the tier set. And you could actually define that. Whereas now, it doesn't matter nearly as much. I mean, you know, you're just – because you're going to have, with reforging, probably crit, haste, and mastery, some form of all three of those.
Actually,
you don't need the hitter expertise on all your gear.
This strangely reminds me of a not quite related thing, but it's this question I wanted to ask for BRK. So, like, I know Zahara and I – both got suboptimal items named after us in the game. And it was one of those like, oh, that's awesome, there's an item named after me. I already have a cloak that's better than that from the previous year.
You can't show me home.
Yeah, I know. So the BRK, the BRK gun, I never had that because I never actually did the tribute run when it was...
Seriously. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. He got
you
a gun.
Score.
But that was, I mean, was that the top ranged weapon back
for a time?
In
it
TLC?
Had to have been.
Yes, it
had to have been.
Because it was the Tribune run one, right?
It had a gem slot, and it had crit. I'm looking at it now. It had crit and haste on it, and agility and stam. I mean, that had to have been.
Hey, but it didn't have armor pen.
No, it didn't have armor pen.
But yeah, of course, maybe.
What was that item level like? 216.
258.
There you go. Yeah, it was best in slot at the time. It was.
Yeah, whereas the second Zahara and I, the second they released ours, it was like, nope, already better.
I bought mine.
I don't even think you got your cloak right away, did you? Like, you ran it, didn't you not get your cloak for a while?
Oh, no, it took me so flippin' many runs to get my flippin' cloak. I'm like, really? You guys can't just toss one in the mail?
That's what I said about the gun.
Yeah,
I never got the gun, and I can't get the gun. It's on Rallab, and it taunts me.
I never got your gun either.
Yeah, that's wrong. They should give that to you, BRK. I mean, you can get a replica of it just through questing in Mists of Pandaria. The very first quest you do on the Alliance side will grant you a gun that looks like that, but it's still not the same.
Yeah, because then you transmog it, and it doesn't say what it should say.
Exactly. Yeah.
It should say it.
And for those who don't know, the flavor text says smells faintly of raspberries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I got Frostheim's cloak on like my second run, and I remember him just being real upset that all these people were getting it and he couldn't, and it really did take you just dozens of runs. It was a while.
It was awful. It was improbable. But well, also, it's worth
a dollar vendor.
I know, in some ways that's worse, right?
All my friends were wearing it on their enhancement shamans.
I was just saying, in some ways that's worse. It's like, I'm not going to spend my valor points on that until I have everything else I need.
Yep.
But yeah, for the youngins out there in the audience, BRK in his blogging days was well known for his love of raspberry lattes.
I still am. They're awesome.
which is why his gun faint smells faintly of raspberries.
There was a time when Ghostcrawler liked me. There used to be that time.
Yeah, well, you know, Ghostcrawler.
The cloak smells like gunpowder, doesn't it? Or gunpowder stained. Sorry.
It's a gunpowder. Right, that belonged to an uncommonly good-looking hunter.
Right. Okay.
Yes. No. I guess you guys have covered this at length in the podcast. But yeah, Ghostcrawler moving over to Riot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we hadn't talked about that because we just found out about it. I think this past week. But yeah, that was interesting.
We talked about him leaving Blizzard, not moving to Riot necessarily.
Yeah. Right. Because it's one thing to be like, okay. You know, I've been doing this for a lot of years. I feel like I've done my thing. I'm ready for a break. I'm going to go hang out on my yacht and explore sea crustaceans. That's one thing. But, like, I'm going to go do this for a different game company is a little bit interesting.
Yeah, I wonder what it was like when his office was abandoned and people came in and grabbed his office supplies.
But they had it in, like, little, you know, they were all in team areas, you know. Each area is in like a team, and his desk was always really cool because it was like filled with dinosaurs. He had a bunch of dinosaurs all over his desk.
Like toy dinosaurs, or
yeah, like he had a pterodactyl or something hanging from the ceiling. I can't remember exactly, but I just remember going, "Dude, he's cool. that's an awesome desk." I mean, everyone there, their desks are loped out like crazy with toys, but his just was particularly dino.
And yet we can only tame one of the dinosaurs on Thunder Isle. What?
Yeah, right? I know.
I mean, come on. I told you, he used to like me.
I'm sure he still does. Who doesn't like you?
You know, Blizzard, I can't remember who it was. They kind of posted, we talked about that in one of our episodes, about, you know, kind of sort of the random thinking that goes into determining what should be tameable and what should not be. And it literally is just, you know, whatever someone feels like at any given time. Except druids. Apparently they all agree that we should not be able to tame druids, which is
if I can't
really
tame
wrong.
A druid, I want to tame Thok.
Like a reverse symbiote.
See, I'm right with you. The Thok is exactly who I'm thinking of. That's one of the coolest looking T-Rexes in the game, and we really need a tameable version of that.
I was actually reading back through BRK's old posts, and he had, like, I think it was in like 2008 you were talking about taming druids to your fake interview with Ghostcrawler.
Oh yeah.
So that's been in conversation for a long time. It should happen.
And it still hasn't happened, Blizzard. Come on.
Well, maybe just we like, could work
just
out
like a PvP ability.
And then we could go to Shamans and maybe...
all of the entire Pandaren race. Both Alliance and Horde. Either side.
But, ooh, well, then you could tame Michelle's NPC, presumably.
Oh, that's true.
That smells like Wynn. Is that Wynn?
Oh, okay. Well,
Facts?
Yeah. We're about ready to do the in-game role. That's gonna be Bella taking roles for that. There's something I want to do for the brew pup. That's a little bit different than rolling, but we have two to give away. So I think for the first we're gonna do a roll, but Bella's gonna be doing that, but not just yet. But we do have, this being the final podcast, we wanted to kind of sort of go through the history of it with our guests and everyone that's on and what's happened and hosts coming and going. So we have quite a few things. So we're about 4.5 years old with the podcast. The first one was in August of 2009, and that was Euripides and Darkbrew that started it up.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, back in those days it was literally just the two of us, and we did it via Skype. There was no live show in each of us because we couldn't figure out how to get Skype to record the, like, both of us talking together. So he would record his audio track, I'd record my audio track, and then we'd magically try and piece them together. And
I just cannot believe that, you guys, because that's when I joined the show, same thing. Like, it was three people's streams that somebody had to weave together. I was like, that just seems like a real waste of effort.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we actually had a real audio guy, Faglis, who wasn't able to join us today, but he stuck with us for about 40 episodes, and if I recall what Euripides had said about this was, he was just a listener to the show, and he sent an email to Euripides and saying, hey, I like your show, I like the content, the rapport, you know, the hosts seem to have a good rapport, but it sounds just awful. And Euripides said, well, what do you recommend? And Faglis basically said, well, send me the audio files and I'll take care of it. And he volunteered his time to go ahead and produce the show for us. But even then, we sent him our individual audio tracks, and he somehow synced it all together, took out all the ums and ahs and all the things that we leave in there now, and sound somewhat remotely professional. And you know,
it took out Frost Time's
that.
Typing as well, as I recall.
I don't know how much time he spent doing that, but and he even hang out during when we started doing live shows. He even participated in that, and he lived in Australia. He was somewhere like Brisbane, I think. So when we did the podcast about 5 or 6 in the evening on Saturdays, so that was Sunday morning for him. He was getting up at 7 a.m. Sunday morning to do our show. So
wow.
It was really. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Great dedication on his part.
Yeah, and back in the early days, so I think the Audacity streams was part of the reason we had so many shows that took so long to get out.
Yeah.
But also, we didn't have, like, a set before we started doing live shows. There wasn't, like, a set day, like, every week, like, an email came out, like, well, what day works for you guys this week? And everyone was like, oh, none of them.
Yeah, that's right. We had to try and come up with when it was convenient for the three of us to actually come on and record a show. And yeah, so, yeah, the live shows really helped that. Yeah, I sort of made a note of that had we, since we released our first episode, been able to record an episode a week leading up to today, we'd actually be on something like episode 230 instead.
Yeah,
of
and actually, that's not as bad as I thought it would be. But,
no, I thought it would be worse, too.
Yeah, actually, considering how many we missed just since, how many weeks we've missed since, like, I've come on, I would have guessed more than that, too.
But Dark Brew has on thebrewhole.com an awesome post where he clearly just spent way too much time.
Yep.
digging up all of these, like, really, like, somebody needs to make it into an infographic, because that's what it read like. There's just all of these little Hunty Party podcast stats. This person has missed this many shows and has been on this many.
Yeah, well, and that's what all these stats are taken from, is that post from Dark Brew put together, because there's a lot of information, as pretty much anyone who's ever been a guest on the show was listed on the post. So check it out on the Brew Hall.
And you know what? You know what was missing from it, and what I think we need to do, because just like we were talking about shutting down Warcraft Hunters Union and how we want to leave on the front page a post that's like, hey, we're shut down, but here's where you can find good. I think for the Hunting Party podcast, we need to make a post that encapsulates a lot of Dark Brew's post, but it basically calls out, here's some episodes that are notable. So it's like, this person was on this many. Here is the link to all the episodes they were on. Here was the episode 100 drunken thing. Here's the link to that. Here's the episode. Like, there was an episode that I was the only host, which was not on your stats, which is what made me realize that BRK was freaking crazy. That was so hard to be the only person.
That's right. You had to do it all by yourself, literally, because there were several episodes where I was the only one of us available, but I always had somebody else.
Ollie was there.
So I was never talking to myself. But BRK, you did your podcast, and it was mostly just you coming up with whatever topics you felt were pertinent, and you laid it over that sound bed of the Brewfest stuff, and it worked tremendously. I mean, you sat there and you listened to it. Word for word, and you were sad when it was over and couldn't wait for the next episode.
It was so difficult. And I don't mean conceptually, I mean the actual work into going into it. It's, you see a film and you don't understand how much work goes into it. You go see The Hobbit, you don't know how much effort is involved in doing that. Well, try doing one pot, you've seen these people, you've done this stuff. One podcast episode is a lot of work. And doing 200 is insane. I think you're all crazy. But
200 is a good number, period. Like, a lot of podcasts don't make it this long. And for us being a class-specific, not even a general WoW podcast, this is a hell of a run.
Yeah, so, instances is where? 230s, 240s, okay. Somewhere around that?
Yeah, they've been going. Yeah, I would think they'd be a lot higher than that because they've started well before we did. But yeah, they're one of the long-time running.
You have people doing the technical work, and then you have people coming up with an ideas, and then finding guest hosts and guests who aren't doldrums, and it takes a lot of work. And we don't get paid for this. You're not hawking anything, which is really stupid. You should be selling something.
You know, we had sponsors at one point in time, and we never made a cent from this thing.
It's funny, because we talked about this, like, in particular, I think, when everybody was around for episode 100, and at that point, we all all three of us, Ripley's Darker and I, we were really busy. We had a lot of other stuff going on, the show. Like, I never did anything for the show other than show up. Like,
hardly that.
Thank you. I did better at that than Ripley's did. the people at Dark Brew and Euripides who actually did something, like involved the show notes or editing the show together or something, we were talking about, like, I remember we came up with, like, hey, here's a whole list of ways that we could actually, get money. And one of the things we talked about was like, oh, yeah, we can get endorsements and have them give us product that we can give away on the show. That would be so awesome. And then there was, like, this, like, uncomfortable silence where we all kind of acknowledged, like, yeah, there's no way I have time to do that. Like, yeah, we'll just keep doing it, doing what we're doing. We're not going to change anything. We had a lot of ideas about, like, oh, we could do this to make the show better, or do a segment like this. Like, yeah, but that would take work.
Yeah. Like, almost be a full-time job, literally.
It can be, very, very easily.
Yeah. So,
and you're mixing this in with playing the game, too, right? I mean,
you have to play the game so that you have ideas to write about something.
Right, and we're all writing our own blogs, so our spare time is, our spare WoW time is more spent blogging than podcasting. I'm incredibly impressed that you managed to do this all on your own, BRK. I can't fathom that effort.
Well, you notice I didn't do 200 episodes either.
How many did you make it to?
18, I'm guessing off the top of my head.
It feels like it was so much more.
There was a lot to talk about in Burning Crusade. Everything, I don't know if it was the height of population in terms of subscriptions, but it was the time when everybody knew who the elite guilds were, and nobody could go see what the elite groups were doing. And then all of a sudden that stuff kind of became available in Burning Crusade. So everybody really got more into it because it wasn't an expanded universe. Is you were allowed to participate in all of the existing universe. So there was a lot to talk about and a lot of things people were doing wrong and a lot of new content. It was so much to write about. Well, this month, what have we got to write about? Aspect of the Ironhawk. That's it. It's just not enough content. You need more content, and Blizzard's not giving it to us. They're actually taking it away, which is why I feel like, you know, the next people who come along, and there has to be someone else who comes along, because whose else podcast am I going to jump on? They have to do more than Hunters, because there's just not enough to write about and talk about anymore.
Well, and we were talking about this. We were talking about this last week. Like, we really haven't had anything substantial come out since BlizzCon. Like, we had a bunch of stuff to talk about immediately following BlizzCon, and then it's just sort of been like random tweets and little tweaks here and there. Nothing real substantial about Hunters. Of course, you're getting some bigger stuff occasionally about the game in general, but some of the podcasts that we've had since BlizzCon have been sort of, well, here's a couple Hunter things sprinkled in, and here's the general game announcements, because that's all we had to talk about.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about BC, because I actually did like a big look into Google search volume. I did like an article on WoW Insider on this, where I looked at the Google search volume for, you know, WoW and World of Warcraft in different classes, and like consistently, if you go into like Google Trends, BC was the peak of like people searching for WoW-related information. I think, you know, part of that was it was the first expansion, WoW was still young and exciting, but I think a lot of it was, and this I think also pertains to the difficulties about blogging about WoW nowadays, or particularly class-specific blogs, is some of that is like a lot of the things that we had to talk about were things that like nobody, you couldn't find out in-game. Like, it was really difficult to find out what the hit cap was, or that there was a hit cap. You know, that your tooltip didn't tell you. There weren't target dummies that you could go do this testing on. And gradually, WoW did, and I think this is a good thing from a game design standpoint, they did a lot to sort of put that information in the game. So, like, well, the information you really need to know, we've got you covered, we'll tell you what it is. And that, you know, created a lot less space for, you know, people to feel like, you're like, oh, I need to find this information. The people who are delivering that information had less information to deliver. Still a lot of stuff to talk about, but...
Well, when you were delivering the information, too, at the time, you had to think, like, Burning Crusade was, what, 2007, 2008? So in that time period, when you think about the internet, you think about blogging at that time, it just wasn't as much as it is now. Right now, it's such an overload of information. Mm-hmm. Everyone is almost, it's almost like just aggregating information at this point. I mean, just like any 24-hour news station, you know, I see the same things posted on so many websites, the exact same thing. I'm not learning any new information, but that time period when the internet was still kind of just exploding with bloggers with their own websites and WoW Insider and all of these places, this was kind of the new time of it when it was just kind of on the forefront. We forget that the internet is still, like, pretty young. It's just right now very, very saturated at this point.
Another thing with the BC era is, I mean, I know for me, that was when I started actually going out and looking for information about the game. I mean, I played in vanilla, but I was very, you know, I just played by feel mostly, and maybe I went to the official forums, but I never really went past that. And I think a lot of people, I mean, they started playing the game, and it was, you know, it wasn't until they played for a bit that they decided that they needed information, more information than was available to them in the game. You know, because originally, why would you do that? You're just there to play. And by BC, I think players became more sophisticated, but they hadn't yet gotten to the point where they'd sort of peaked.
Well, they needed to become more sophisticated because they got into situations that required it. In vanilla, unless you were in a 40-man raid group doing Naxxramas, you didn't need to do a lot of DPS. You didn't need to learn how to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Burning Crusade comes out, and now, guess what? You're going to get invited to do things, and you need to perform because the squishies have three buttons, and they know how to press them.
DPS meters weren't even commonly used, really, until these. For the most, I didn't see barely any of them until BC. When I was in Molten Core, I had no idea how badly I was playing my rogue. I was like, you know, I wasn't using backstab, but I was using daggers, and I was like completely clueless.
Yeah, I was. We had. I had DPS meters in vanilla.
Well, there were some there, but it wasn't like everyone was using them.
No, it wasn't the and you certainly didn't have the whole, like, whenever you go do something, some random person is outputting their recount to party chat. I think one of the reasons that it's declined since BC, certainly the subscriber numbers might be part of it, but I mean, if you look at, like, the search volume trend of people looking for stuff, it's like, half or less than half of what it was in 2008. You know, I think a lot of it is, information that you just don't need to go looking for anymore. And I don't know if that's... I'm not sure how much of that is a good thing, because something that bothered me a lot about sort of the state of Hunter DPS in the in Mists of Pandaria is you see hunters doing things pretty stupidly.
Yeah.
But their DPS isn't like it used to be. You do something that bad, you're doing half the DPS of everyone else. But now they're like, but they're doing 15% lower, and they're not using like three of their damage abilities. They're like, all I do is hit steady shot and chimera shot.
Well, what's our number one DPS shot? Regardless of spec. Auto shot.
It's the passive damage. So when you're talking about, I've talked about this at length too. When you have maybe like 60-70% of your damage, when you add in your pet and your auto shot, and
the pet
and
is a good point.
Procs. Yeah. So you have that's coming from passive stuff that you don't really need to think about. A lot of times, and we did get to a point in Mists of Pandaria, and they did a couple things since then to go the other direction that have helped. But there was a point at which you could sort of spam, you put up Serpent Sting, and then you just spam, like, Arcane and Steady Shot, or Cobra Shot, I should say.
That's a good point.
You were doing, like, 90-95% of what was possible. Yeah. And it was really alarming. So they since that point, there have been some changes to boost these signature shots to sort of differentiate between these things. I don't know that the passive damage has gone down, though, so I still see it as somewhat of an issue where, you can be a Huntard and do only 20% less and probably still contribute to a raid and really be playing exponentially more stupid than the guy who's min-maxing.
Let me ask Roger, what do you think about this? I mean, because since you play it, you play optimally, you play at a high level. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you see hunters right now in that regard?
First of all, on what you just said, I think I'm not sure what the state is now, but for rogues specifically, I think one of the three specs is it assassination. I'm not sure where. We were looking at the recount, and it would say that the auto attacks and the deadly poison was like 60-70% of their damage, which is just auto hitting. That's it.
Yeah.
So I think that's really a bad thing for for the good players that they don't. Sign.
Chat room just pointed out that we said optimal.
Optimal.
Drink.
But for the hunters, I think the. The thing that I didn't like was that you can auto shot while moving. I think that was one of the cooler mechanics for me to try to maximize. And now you just move around and you keep auto shooting. So
that's definitely a giant chunk of skill that was removed from hunters.
Yeah,
yep. I have to agree. When I learned to stutter step, I actually felt like I was finally a real hunter.
Yeah.
And watching some of the, I remember watching videos of, at the time, like, Kriparian was the big name in Hunter DPS, and I remember watching videos of him and the stutter stepping that he did. I was kind of like, wow, this is what it takes. And I was in awe of that level of control over his movement, because I did some of that, but not nearly at the same level. So yeah, absolutely. They half introduced something like that again with the level 100 talents that are on the way with the snipe ability, but it's still not at the same level.
But to be honest, the lines they designed were different then. I mean, the sheer volume of movement requirements have gone up over every tier of content, I would say. I mean, they've had to give range classes a lot more movement flexibility in order to design these fights the way they do.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's very hard to make a turret class right now.
Mm. What were you going to say, Roger?
That I think I'm just going to sacrifice my pet, so I don't know. Yeah, sorry. To be honest, I'm really excited to play. I actually, like this week, I tried out marksmanship for like the first time after a lot of time, and I liked it quite a lot. I think it's a really fun spec, so I'm excited to play it in Warlords of Draenor, sacrificing my pets or my aim shots crit for a billion. Yeah. Oh, never mind, the squeeze, so it's going to be like 30k.
Yeah, Marksman right now has actually, since the last big patch, has become the spec of choice for PvP, and apparently the burst is slightly higher since they nerfed BM and also got rid of readiness. So it's really been, it's still not up there in PvE quite with the other two, but yeah, well, it's become pretty dominant.
Yeah, well, how's your DPS been, Roger, with Marksman? Are you noticing a big difference or decrease or what?
Well,
what
I
are
just
you seeing?
Tried it. Yeah, I just went in a raid, didn't practice at all, so it was the first raid. I was pretty bad at it, but I think it's the problem with marksmanship. I think is because the AOE, like AOEing as marksmanship, is really painful right now. And also, I think that if you target swap and you do a Chimera Shot, which is like your huge burst, then you have to put Serpent Sting back up on the boss. Like there are some just annoying things, which if they fix, I think marksmanship is going to be really fun.
I guess I missed
I think it's really fun as a rotation, like how you manage your aim shots, especially with the four piece. But it's just, I don't know. If they fix a little bit the things that are annoying with the spec, I would definitely play it. It's been a while. Like I haven't played it at all this expansion, which is really saddening for me.
Yeah, the big thing I miss about Marksman in the Wrath of the Lich King days, I really miss the dual Serpent Sting, where you could have like two targets that you're keeping Serpent Sting on, and you just Chimera Shot every other one, because the cooldown was short enough that you could keep Serpent Sting up on two targets. That was fun.
That was fun. That was cool. I think back then it had exclusive access to readiness as well, so it was something that made it feel, for not just DPS purposes, but utility as well. Marksman had that extra edge over some of the others. So actually, back in Wrath, it was easily my favorite spec because of that.
Yep.
So we got a little bit away from what we were talking about, but all these tangents are awesome. So we've just been talking about the podcast a little bit, and... So, as we said, it started in August of 2009. Frost, you came on earlier than I remembered in episode 13. I thought, so pretty early when Frost Time came on. Fagless, as mentioned, was sort of a producer and helped with the audio early on. Ollie came on in episode 40. And then so that was like the crew for quite a while. Episode 100, everyone got together at Frost Time's place. Euripides told that story earlier. So there wasn't really any changes until Frost was sort of getting out of the podcasting game, and my first show was 155. It seems like it hasn't been that long, but I've been involved for almost the last quarter of the show. So the time has really flown since I came on, and it was about a year ago. It was in March.
I was surprised. I didn't think it was. It seemed like it was later than that when I saw that. I was like, wow, he came on in March. It seemed. You know, talk about time flying. You know, the one thing that surprised me actually was how many episodes that Euripides had missed.
Well, he
missed a total of 49 episodes that he was eligible for. I obviously didn't include the ones after he had officially retired and left the podcast. But while he was officially a host, he had missed 49 episodes, which to me was just seemed astounding. It's like, wow, he was really in and out.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize that either, but I guess from my brief overlap with him, it made sense, because he seemed in and out during that period as well. But Frost Time retired on episode 181, and Yuri followed shortly thereafter with 186. And then, really, the guests we have on today, so Roger, you said, has been on three times. I guess this probably makes four. This makes Zahara's 10th appearance, making her our most frequent guest. And apparently she was the last-minute fill-in most of the time. But, you know, we always appreciated you coming on. Michelle, this is her 9th appearance, and BRK, this is his 8th overall appearance. So that's, you guys were like the most Newman, you know, you came on the show probably more than anyone else. A lot of guests were just one and done. There was a few that we had on multiple times. So, like, Roger, for example, came on. This is his 4th appearance. But... you guys were definitely the stalwarts that helped make it interesting.
Yeah, so
they
Michelle.
So they weren't listening to us all the time, you know.
A ton of appearances, and honestly, I didn't realize that we had had BRK had you on as many times as we did, but I was grateful for that. It was funny. I remember when you came on in episode 34. I thought it felt like it was very late in the life of the podcast for that, but. Very pleased that you came on that episode and all the subsequent episodes. They without saying, it's been some of our best shows for certain.
Well, the key is that this is the Who podcast. I don't care what it's called. It's the Who podcast.
Yeah.
It's
I'm used to that.
And it's the guests are supposed to be there and be fun, but the guests aren't supposed to try to take over. And as my therapist says, I have an extremely highly evolved self-worth. So all I want to do is talk about me. So I need to shut up and sit down. And so I don't want to come on every week because then people get sick of me and get mad and Euripides quits and then the podcast quit. Oh, wait a minute. It just did. So it's great to come on and talk and fun, but I also, you know, I don't want to be a pain in the butt.
That'll be the name of episode 200, BRK Kills the Podcast.
Yeah.
Man, I'll take that. I'll get that on a t-shirt and sell it and make money because you guys can't do that.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's how you do it. I showed you how to do it.
We weren't able to monetize this. Speaking of guests, though, we're actually adding another to our harem here, which is a horrible word to use for our group of guests.
I'll be in your harem.
Or appropriate.
I'll be part of your harem, Arth.
Drink. I am personally very uncomfortable. I'm going to drink quite a bit for that one.
And then it'll be less uncomfortable.
Mm. We do have a guest joining us here. Who would like to take the intro?
I think Michelle should.
Yeah.
All right, well, joining us is Matthew Mercer. He's a voiceover actor. He is currently voicing the famous hunter Rexxar in Hearthstone, as well as several of your favorite bosses in World of Warcraft. Hey, Matt, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. Yes, awesome.
Beautiful. Greetings, traveler.
It actually is really fun playing Matt. We play Rexxar against Rexxar and just emote at each other.
Constantly. It's terrible. I will hunt you down.
Ooh, I just put my pet on aggressive after that. I'm ready.
We're currently right now trying desperately to get our hunters to level 10, so this is an interesting balance of both interview and finishing quests in Dalmoro. So.
Oh, okay.
Michelle, did you ever show him the Hunter Theater that we used to do with you when you were on the show?
I did not. No, I've left that out.
The what?
Okay, I remember this, where we would have Michelle do the voice of Sylvanas in various in-game dialogue.
Right.
So where can I find this, is my question.
We'll have to go back and see which episodes these are, and we'll let you know.
This is what I'm talking about. This is why we need, like, an episode index.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. We do.
Like, here's, some awesome stuff. If you want to know, here it is.
No one has the time for it.
Mm-hmm. Frost had, like, written an entire script out for all of us to do, and it was Sylvanas. Which scene was it? Is it when Garrosh calls her a bitch?
Yeah, because I went and I found it on one of the sites.
Yeah.
So I just copied this whole giant thing of Garrosh and Sylvanas at the start of Cataclysm from over in Silverpine. Yeah.
You know what? And that reminds me of a story.
You put a reverb on my voice too, which made me feel
really
cool.
Yes, we did.
Nice. This reminds me of a story that's not related to anything, but I was surprised at how often World of Warcraft used the word bitch in its internal dialogue, and that made me so pissed off when WoW Insider wouldn't let me use the word bitch. And I'm like, it's all over WoW!
That's ridiculous.
Does it get censored? I never check.
Well, let me ask you this. So I, obviously, you, Matt, you've mentioned that you've done the voice of Rexxar, which is awesome.
Uh-oh, that is a drink.
Is that technical difficulty
right
there?
That is a technical difficulty.
Drink. I think it's our first dark.
There you go.
Dark, you still with us? if you're well, do we are we obligated to chug while this is going on until
no,
he fixes
no, we're
his
only
mic?
We're only required to drink if all of the hosts stay connected. That's clearly not going to happen.
Yeah,
now.
No.
So we're safe from that one.
Somebody in the raid just wrote, "Thanks for the invite." And it said, "Long live WHU," but I'm a little drunk, and it said, "Long live WHU." And I'm like, it is a long live WHU right now.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, we're like an hour and 45 minutes into this.
Yeah, this is going to be a three-hour podcast here.
Did we lose Dark entirely?
It sounds like we might have. I'm sure he'll be back in. It happens.
What was he asking?
That's good, because he's the only one who knows how to invite somebody.
And I have no idea where he was going with...
I think
game giveaways. I think he just came back here. But
sorry, it kicked me out of the call. I don't know what happened there. Did you guys... sorry, not to go off on a tangent, but when we started this podcast, we really wanted to try and be as best as we can, quote-unquote, professional podcasters. And the whole idea of, breaking down the fourth wall was not something we ever intended. And then slowly, as the show evolved, it became such an essential part of the show where we, told you how the sausage was made, however badly it was made. Anyway, I don't know where you guys left off when I dropped off, but...
We were hacking your Twitter account when you got
there. Yeah, I'm sure.
Apparently when you went down, the whole thing went down because everybody's writing in chat like, "Ah, the podcast is down."
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to ask a question. We know about to Matt. We know about Rexxar, but what other World of Warcraft bosses have you done the voiceover for?
All right, a few to mind: General Vizax in Ulduar, fun little caster-hating douchebag of a boss. done a couple more recent ones: Norishin in Siege of Orgrimmar.
Sure.
As well as Paragon Kairaz and Earthbreaker Haram, one of the two Dark Shamans in the second part of Siege of Orgrimmar. And those are a few I can think of off the top of my head. But
Hallie and the Twilight Destroyer, the big dragon?
And Hallie and the Twilight Destroyer in Ruby Sink.
Which hardly anybody ever saw. I think we defeated that one time, and then we never went back again.
So did we. We went through, did a little learning, we beat it. We're like, okay, who cares?
Exactly.
Oh, that was that stupid End of Wrath dragon,
dragon, for a while, so this will keep you entertained.
That dragon made so many people in my guild pissed off. Like, because that cutter thing, when you would do it on the heroic mode, was pretty rough at the time.
Yep.
With the Twilight mode, so it would go into half your raid to be in Twilight, half of that not, and man, and I was making them do it because half of them were being such fucking assholes about ICC, so I was making them do it. And I was such a bitch of a raid leader back then, man. Oh my god, and I was forcing them to do it, so.
Yeah, it's totally different now. She's completely changed.
Okay, Matt, so let me ask you this. When you're doing voice acting for World of Warcraft, like, what kind of direction are they giving you? Are they just saying, oh, here's the lines, make something up?
No, actually, that's part of the reason I love working for Blizzard. Andrea Toyes, who does all the voice directing, she's fantastic. She does all the research in advance. She knows the world really well, and they usually have the writers or producers on the phone while we do the sessions. So they give me all the context, they let me know the character's backstory, what point in the game, this is why they're doing the things they do. So I'm pretty confident in my performance, and being a game nerd and a longtime WoW player myself, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I totally know who you're talking about. Oh yeah, Jaina Proudmoore, let's just do this. one of those few things about being a gamer and a voice actor is you have a lot more context to the things you're actually performing. So it's a nice little bonus.
And I guess if all else, fails, you can always, fall back to, such and such was only a setback, and just go with that, I suppose.
Exactly.
Do they ever give you, mechanical context? Like, okay, this fight is totally going to screw people over, and they're going to just, get boned. This fight is just to piss off every caster with mana.
They don't.
So try to put that into your performance.
I wish, and that'd be great. And sometimes you kind of get the feeling, depending on what the maneuver phrases are, Although it would be great if some of the phrases they had you say were more contextual like that. Like, you know, for all you mages out there, suck it! You know? That would be a great
I say that on every poll. I don't know how you figured that out.
But, hey, Matt. That's Matt. A good point. I think that context is just implied.
Hey, Matt, quick question for you. Do you have a pronunciation guide for all of those different like races and stuff like that? Because that's one of those big arguments that people have. How do you pronounce everything?
For the most part, they're very, very particular about making sure things are pronounced properly. They don't give me one in advance, per se, but since they have the people on the line who wrote the stuff, for the most part, they're pretty constant about it. And, I mean, I haven't had a huge issue as a kid growing up reading Tolkien and pronouncing weird phrases anyway. You know, I have a little more of a jump on that than some other actors might, but it helps to be a huge nerd.
Yeah, I imagine that's a hard thing to do, you know, because there's so many, you know, made-up words, if you will, and it's very, like, you know, a lot of people, some people pronounce, like, you know, Draenei, and some people pronounce it Draenei, and I think, I'm not even sure which is the official, but I can see how it'd be very easy to have something sound correct, but actually not be correct, so that's an interesting...
Yeah, you know, and you know, let me tell you, when it comes to Draenei in history and lore, correction is what they're all about. no retcons whatsoever.
Yeah, so do you have anything, I know, have they tagged you for anything for Warlords of Draenor, or are you not able to let us in on?
I'm unable to comment on that.
Which is awesome, because if the answer was no, you could say no.
Maybe. I have further say no comment. But yeah, I'm looking forward to
the sniper sitting outside his house.
Right. Yeah, no. They, after each session, they put a chip in the back of her skull, and you know they have that button up there.
They make you walk through that gateway. Was it Area 52 that you know erased your character's memory?
Exactly. Well, the bad part is, if it gets too bad, Chris Metzen just hits the button on his desk and my head detonates, so we're doing the best we can to avoid that circumstance.
And he'll just voice Rexxar from now on.
Bitch! That guy voices too many characters already. He's fine. He's doing good.
So, all right, I have to admit to not being much of a Lord nerd, but so who exactly is Rexxar? What's his story, his backstory, or...?
Rexxar is one of the champions of the Horde during the Warcraft 3 era. He's half orc, half ogre, so imagine that wonderful romantic evening.
Do I have to drink?
Yeah, you might have to.
Want to after, just to envision that.
Yeah, he's one of the he's one of the initial kind of beastmaster type hunter characters. You know, dual axes, he's kind of where that whole spec came from. He's less of a shooter, more of a double axe, getting there with their, you know, your animal skins on your head and hunts. And as far as World of Warcraft goes, he's been kind of underused since Burning Crusade. He's pretty much been staying out on Outland since then because he decided that both the Alliance and the Horde were a bunch of bitches and just had nothing to do with all of his animals. Only they understand him.
Is he even in World of Warcraft? Have we seen him or...
Yeah, he's in there. He's still
as an NPC.
Outland.
Okay.
Yeah. There were a few quests that dealt with him back in BC, but he hasn't really come up since. So hopefully we'll see more of him in the near future.
Cool.
Well, being that they've made him the hunter of Hearthstone to represent the hunter class, I would assume they're really taking him back with his origin story. I'm sure we'll see him in Heroes of the Storm. We'll see him more in Warlords of Draenor and whatnot. I just have a feeling we're going to see more of them.
We'll see. I mean, with much many people are complaining on the forums about the hunter decks anyway, they'll probably be like, no, get them out of there!
Actually, this is a question I've had for a while. Is there any other big hunter character in World of Warcraft, apart from Rexxar?
Oh. Lady Sylvanas.
Lady Sylvanas.
Yeah, but...
She's a Dark Ranger, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not really a hunter.
She was a hunter when she was alive, yeah, but she's become a Dark Ranger now in her undeath.
Yeah, and then after that, you've got, you know, Roger Brown, Big Red Kitty, Frost Time, Dark Brew, Arthamistia, Michelle Morrow.
I like to think that at his heart, Arthas was a hunter. like in his own time when nobody was watching, he just like scored a bow and practice. He was really terrible at it. It's more of a hobby.
He had a lot of hunter drops. I remember he had crossbows and things. He had some good things for hunters.
Fair, for a long time, most any boss dropped things that were good for hunters. So.
That's a good point. Are.
That's a good point. Back in back
plate. That's all mine.
Yeah.
Back in the day when we wanted all of the rogue and feral druid weapons, there was a lot of hard feelings, and I kind of miss those days.
Yeah, well, I don't. I made the rogue.
Right? Everything's going to be hunter gear again.
No.
It still is. I don't know what you people are doing, not rolling all this in plate and stuff like that. It's all mine. I take it all. Maces, gimme.
Make it stop.
Okay, I'm looking at the show notes now to figure out where the hell
we are.
Does
everybody remember when the first Thord All-Stars Fury was not given to two hunters in the raid group, it was given to a rogue?
Oh, yeah. We remember it was given to a rogue, yes.
That's why all loot is hunter loot. It all goes back to that.
That's,
I don't care.
That's fair enough.
All mine. Gimme. I'll take the mace. I'll take the daggers. They're
that
all
was a,
mine.
That was just a crime against our class, and it's there were hunters in that raid.
Yes,
there
were hunters
in that raid.
I don't care if they were new to the guild. It's a no. There's no excuse for that.
This is why I roll neat on everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Good to be ready.
Oh, someone also mentioned Hemet Nessingwary, also massive hunter in the game. Mm. How could we forget?
Oh, of course. Go. Yeah, I hope he makes a return. Well, he's been in every expansion since. Well, was he in Burning Crusade? I mean, he wasn't in Burning Crusade, but he was. Well, yes, he was. Of course,
he was.
Yes, he was. Yeah. How could I forget? Because they've changed it now, but back when he was there, you had to kill like 1,000 of every creature in Negrand in order to complete his quest. So, of course.
Wait a minute. Was a question just answered by the chat room?
Oh. Whoa.
Drink.
I'm kind of personally excited for the eventual patch in Warlords of Draenor, in which they have to deal with the fact that most of the races of Azeroth are going extinct now, and Nessingwary has to go through the guilt, and then becomes a heavy drinker, and like, it's gonna be great.
He's a dwarf. He's already a heavy drinker.
Yeah, that's right. Valid point.
But I'm looking forward to his return. I've always enjoyed his quest. He didn't have a lot to do in Mists of Pandaria, but his stuff's always been fun.
I always like the fishing guy as well. It's nice to have a recurring character like that.
Pat Nagel?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Banya's here.
Banya's here. You read her name at the beginning. We do have Krith, though, as well, now here, too.
Hey!
Oh.
Yeah, I just saw Banya standing next to me in-game with the title Zookeeper.
We needed a hunter pet.
Yeah, for those who don't remember, Banya is, you know, created a set, WoW Biology 101, which basically maps all the animals in the bestiary in World of Warcraft to their real-life counterparts here on Earth, and it's a very, very cool site, very unique site, you know. Where,
yeah, although
a lot of work.
The interview with Banya totally fucking blew. Because that was like totally one of those like, oh, Frostheim isn't going to be able to make it. We better get a guest to fill in. And like that's happened several times where like somebody that I was really interested in talking to, it's like, oh, I'm not going to be able to make it next week. And then you guys are like, oh, well, we should find a guest then. Let's go on the list of guests that Frostheim wants to talk about the most.
That's a category on Wowhead, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you did say Crypto is in chat. He's over in the World of Warcraft community team and was responsible for tweeting us out to the 500,000 followers on the tweets. So
yes, thank you to Crypto. That's very very appreciative, and I believe he's got that NPC too in Stormwind, right? The
perky pug.
The perky pug, yeah, that just decimates people.
Go that's kill really him in cool. Stormwind.
Oh man, halfway to 10.
So is this your first hunter that you're leveling here, or have you like got?
Or is this like the 10th?
Are you like set like me, who's got like at least 6 now? I've got half a dozen hunters on the same server.
I have one hunter, horde hunter. I got a 30 once. So this is my first time doing an alliance hunter. My main is a warrior currently. But as my girlfriend, who's also Marisha, who's also leveling up a hunter with me right now, within 5 minutes, she's like, "Wow, hunters are really awesome."
Yeah, Marisha.
They are. Yes. I had to learn that the hard way too. The first character I leveled to max level back in vanilla was a paladin, and I did it because it was like, oh, I want to be wanted to be able to solo stuff. So I figured, oh, being a warrior with that could heal himself would be the way to go. And then I was about 2 weeks after I got to level 60, I rolled a hunter, and it was like, oh my god, what the hell was I thinking?
When you leveled that warrior as your main, what warrior blog did you read?
I didn't read any. Yeah, there was no blogs. This was me, you know, playing a. It was a paladin. It was a cockroach paladin, as you like to refer to them as. And I had no clue what I was doing. I wish I had taken screenshots to look at what my spec looked like for that paladin, because it probably looked nothing like. I had no idea of the holy trinity of, you know, roles of tanking, DPS, and healing. I had no clue of any of that. I must have been like. I was that guy, that, you know, that one person you just didn't want anywhere around you in dungeons and anything else. That was probably me on my paladin.
Fair enough.
Should have seen me on my warlock. I didn't know that you could scroll the talent list.
Right?
No. that happened to a friend of mine who I leveled with back in vanilla when I was leveling. And he was like, yeah, people keep talking, like, keep asking me, like, if I can do Blessing of Wisdom or this other thing. It's like, you know, I don't have the, I'm max level now. He's like, I don't have these things. And, yeah, somebody pointed out, like, you know, there's another page to your, oh, you can scroll your talents down. It was a talent. He was like, I can't even take this talent. And he's like, oh, yeah, you can scroll down, and there's more talents down there.
See, I'm too much of... figured it out in the early 40s, but for a while I was like...
Yeah, he maxed out without ever figuring that one out.
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, I was too much of a quality of life guy that I would, you know, stop playing classes because of stupid things like, oh, what do you, like as a paladin, oh, what do you mean, I have to buff you every 5 minutes? I don't think so, you know? That's enough for me to... I have to carry a bag for ammo. That's why I dropped my original character, which was a hunter, because I had to have that extra, waste a bag on ammo.
Yeah. Was it you that had that story about the raid where you went and you were still using your cheap practice arrows as opposed to your good arrows? Oh, as you've been at the DPS.
I probably did that. I've run out of ammo during a raid before.
Oh,
my God. Oh, so many times I ran out of fucking ammo. I'm so glad I don't have that shit anymore.
My favorite was I once raided with all of my gear reforged into dodge.
I remember that.
Because I was, it was, you know, relatively new in the expansion, and I was testing whether defensive stats transferred to the pet. So I'm reforging all my stuff into dodge, and I'm getting, like, some dodge trinkets and dodge rings and you know, going and doing a bunch of tests. I think I was doing PvP and getting somebody in a controlled environment to attack my pet to see if his dodge rates actually changed. And I replaced my gear, so I got rid of the rings and trinkets, but yeah, all my gear was still reforged dodge. I was like, God, I'm just having a hard time keeping up. I don't know what's wrong with it. The whole thing didn't really even occur to me, I think until I was like, you know, like, oh, if this drops, oh, what's that going to do to my reroll? Well, let me see where I'm at. Oh, my God!
That's like the ultimate. Most of us just raid in our cooking hat.
Oh, yeah. The cooking hat and now also the cloak, which teleports you to Orgrimmar. Yeah. I've had those things.
Pet hat, now, for leveling pets, I have a weak aura specifically that tells me if I zone into a raid instance and I'm wearing it, because I just... Too many times I would go into an instance and completely forgot I was wearing it.
Yeah. But for the arrow things, I remember that even though I didn't use it, I always had my legendary bow in my bags. So in case I'm out of ammo, yeah, just throw the thing. And it's a funny thing that actually when we did Yogg-Saron, the first time we killed it, mid-fight, I'm like, oh shit, I'm out of ammo. And I whisper, it was the kill actually, yeah? So I whisper to the other hunter, and I'm like, can you trade me some ammo, please? Mid-fight, there was some trade action going on.
Oh, God,
that's amazing!
Mid-fight, first kill of Yogg-Saron. Psst, I need some ammo!
And funnily
Don't
enough...
Don't tell anyone!
If you see our Ragnaros first kill... there was also some trade action going on in phase 1 where I realized, oh, I only have one potion, which I just used for a pre-pot. And I asked, and I get traded another potion for the kill. But actually, I wanted to ask you guys something, because this has been the case for me. Like, the Hunter was my first character, like, 8 years ago, and I've never thought about actually changing my class, my main class. Even though there have been some times where Hunters were kind of bad, and a lot of people were like, oh, are you going to reroll? Are you going to reroll? I'm like, nope. Hunter is, like, the perfect class for me. So have you guys had the same experience, or did you realize?
Yep, exact same experience. Hunter, when I first played it, that's been my main ever since. I mean, I have an alt, I have a priest alt, but I don't really play her. I mean, all of my achievements and everything I do has to be on Ashari.
So I started also 8 years ago with the Hunter. It's been my only main. I have, at times, piddled around with other classes, like, oh, I'm bored, I'm waiting for the raid to start in an hour. I don't have a life, so I'm going to make another character and play around with a Discipline Priest or whatever, but never, ever considered, never leveled anything else to max level and never considered switching classes.
So can you all hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, we can.
Okay, because, like, my mic stopped working for a while, and I was talking.
Was that
and, like,
a technical difficulty?
You guys, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Drink. Why is this guy talking over me?
Right,
this
right, right.
How rude.
You all kept, like, talking over me, and I was like, what are these assholes doing? And so, like, it took me a solid 2 or 3 minutes to figure it out. I was just like, all right, well, I guess they don't give a shit about me. I'm going to shut up then. And then I got booted. So, yes, multiple technical difficulties.
Okay, well, you're not experiencing technical difficulties here. You've just reached the end of part 2 of the episode 200 finale. I'm hopefully you're enjoying it enough that you want to download parts 3 and 4, and we'll see you then.
This is Onimus, and you're listening to the Hunting Party Podcast. I'm Jennifer.